Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Then we're going to go to 2 Peter, and we're going to try to close 2 Peter all the way out tonight. Good luck. Amen. We'll see. I'm going to try to, and then I don't know where to go after 2 Peter, so just pray about that, and we'll just seek the Lord in it and find out what God would have us to study, maybe to have us study another book out of the Bible, and maybe study some issues out of the Bible, issues in life, things going on. So just pray that God will lead and that God will make it simple for me and simple for everybody else. All right, Psalm 91. I ran across this today, I've read this psalm many, many times, and some things every now and then something new just grabs you. That's what I like about the Bible. I'm not going to go get a new Bible. I ain't done with the old one. Amen. Still got stuff in it. And so anyway, in Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I mentioned a while ago before we had prayer about, you know, being afraid of the devil. I get afraid. I mean, I admit it. I get afraid. And if some people tell you, well, then you're not a Christian, or you're not full of spirit, or God can't work in you, phooey on that. I get afraid. Army here gets it. Or you were Air Force or Navy, right?
Both.
That is messed up. Navy and Army both. They saw you coming, buddy. But anyway, they get afraid. Okay? Any soldier tell you they never get afraid, that's not true. Okay? But it's what that fear does for us, and what we do with it. Okay? And God would not have written this had he not known that we would have times where we would need to run and hide. And it's just like a child. A child, 3 or 4 years old, wants to venture out and conquer the world, but the least little thing that they don't like, and they come running back behind daddy or mama's leg and they hang on to it, and you can't get them off of there. Why? Because what they're doing is they're abiding under the shadow. They're abiding under the safety and the protection of their mom and daddy. And that's what Christian people do. What David said, I never get afraid. He didn't say that. He said, what time I am afraid, I will call unto thee. So he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. And if you write little notes in your Bible, you can write in there that says, I don't trust anything else. I don't trust the stock market. I don't trust the 401k. I don't trust the politics. I don't trust the Democrats or the Republicans or the Libertarians. I don't trust the candidates. I don't trust man. I don't trust preachers. I don't trust churches. Don't trust anybody. I put my confidence and my trust in the Lord, and him alone will I trust. I will make him my trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. A snare of the fowler, it seems like to me they throw a net, don't they? Somebody's trying to catch birds, best way to do it is throw a net, all right? And there's always a devil that's going to try to catch you in a net. Always. They're always going to try to get you in a trap somewhere. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. What does that mean? Even if you get caught, he'll come get you out. And from the noise and pestilence, he shall cover thee. And here's where, I mean, I said this one time, and a guy just went nuts on YouTube on me, on this thing. Do you believe what the Bible says or not? Okay, it's that simple. And I'm not condemning anybody that doesn't agree with me on this. But it says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Now, I'm supposed to trust something that other people would tell me don't exist. It's like telling me to trust in Santa Claus. Well, I quit doing that a long time ago. Lisa had to break it to me gently, all right? But I quit trusting in Santa Claus and Easter Bunny and everything else a long time ago. Okay? That's not how it works. So I can't put my trust on something that I see in the Bible, and yet someone tells me, well, that's not really how God is. If the Bible says it this way, it is this way. And I looked at that for a long time, and I just, God, you got to show it to me now, because, you know, we all have our image of God. You know, he's on a throne, he's wearing white, and he's sitting there, and the pictures I drew of God in my head never had wings. Never had feathers. Didn't have anything like that. And sometimes we forget who God is. Okay? For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. They are all God. And so it's just like one day I went, well, that makes sense. Here's Jesus coming up out of the water. He's been baptized. And here's the Father from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then here comes the Holy Ghost in the form of a dove and rested on his shoulder. So you have the whole deal right there. You have Christ the Word, the Son of God. You have God the Father speaking from heaven. And you have the visible presence of the Holy Ghost right there on Jesus' shoulder with feathers and wings. The Holy Ghost is God. So what does that tell you? Look at it with that in mind. Look at it. Even if you say, well, I still think that's just like metaphorical. Okay, well, just hang on to the metaphor then. And what does it mean? He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust his truth. They're telling you right there what his feathers and wings are. It's his truth. What is his truth? Jesus said, thy word is truth. There is not another truth in this world other than the word of God. There are partial truths, but there is no whole truth other than the word of God. So what he's telling you is, if you just break this down and understand the symbols of the Bible, shall cover these with his feathers, under his wings shalt thou... And what we get is this picture of like a mama eagle or a mama bird. And she's got the little baby birds in the nest, and what is she doing? She's covering them. She's going to keep them warm at night, and she's going to protect them from any predator that would come into that nest and try to get those little birdlings out of there. Does that make sense to everybody? That's what birds do. And God gave us that picture of it. When we read this, we're going, yeah, that's how they do it. Mama bird or whatever, daddy bird will cover them with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust, his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. So there it's the word of God. And by the way, if you apply that then, the Holy Spirit, you're still coming back to the word of God. Because that's where the life is. That's where the power is. That is where your protection is. And what this is telling you is, if you will abide under the authority of the word of God, authority is protection. Cops wear a badge. That badge is a symbol of their authority. If a guy walks up to you and says, I want to see your driver's license. Or I want to see your ID. Well, who are you? Well, I want to see it. I don't have to show you anything. If he's got a badge, you may not think you have to, and that's fine. I think I would just because that guy's got authority. Maybe he's looking for somebody, and I just want to tell him, I'm not the guy you're looking for, okay? But he asks you something, he's got authority, and his job is to protect this area. That's their job, to serve and protect. That's what they say. And I believe in law enforcement. I support it. There's good cops out there. There's good people wearing badges out there that would give their lives to protect just about anybody in this county, in this city. And that's what I believe in. Now, I don't care if you don't, that's what I believe. But they have authority. And where authority is protection. If you abide under the authority of, let's say, the Constitution, the law of the state of Missouri, you're fine. If you abide under the authority of the Word of God, you will be okay. God will make sure. But that's where you have to stay. You get outside from underneath the feathers and the wings, anything could happen. Okay? But anyway, he shall cover thee with his feathers. Thou shalt, verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence. I didn't do this. Watch this. Everybody look at me. We're going to read verses 5 and 6. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1, 2, 3, 4. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. God said, if you will... And by the way, the truth is the gospel. 4. If you will abide in that truth, God says you won't be afraid. Not that you better not be afraid. If God spoke a word to me and said, Mike, Be not afraid. You know what I think I would do? I would not be afraid. But God would have to put it in me. God would have to make it that way with His Word. And I believe God can do that. Do you believe that? Say amen. So 1,000 shall fall. Think of a day when everybody's going to fall. And this prophesies of that day. God is telling us there is going to come a bad day. The snare of the fowler is coming out. The pestilence is coming. Arrows are going to fly. Pestilences, destruction that's going to waste people. So on and so forth. Those things are going to happen. God is telling His people who are going to be alive at that time, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Do you believe the word of God? Say amen. Okay, and I'm just telling you, I think there will come a day, even if it's not that day, I think there will come a day in your life when this becomes real. Okay, every now and then God will bring you back to it and remind you, stay where you are, stay right here, stay under my protection, my authority, and I'll make sure that nothing will harm you. You go read the rest of that and enjoy it. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3. And boy, I tell you what, you're going to have to help me with time, because that clock says we're 20 after 7. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I got 40 minutes. I asked that clock earlier if it was wrong. He didn't say nothing. So anyway, here's what Peter said. He said in 2 Peter chapter 3, he said, verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot, blameless. Boy, do I long for that. Amen. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall. We just read that in Psalm 91. Don't be among those that fall. Because that if they fall on that day, the snare of the fowler got them. The arrows that fly got them. Satan's sending out fiery darts after people. You've got to make the Lord your shield. We're supposed to have the shield of faith, okay? That's our protection. It's the Word of God. And so he said, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is why we're here tonight. Okay, we're here not because it's a commandment, not because if I miss a church service, I probably won't make it to heaven. It's not that. It's just that we need food. We need fellowship. We need what is a child where they don't feed it well and nobody loves it. It's failure to thrive. Okay, it'll suffer from that and then it may die from that. And that's how some people who that come to the altar and make a confession of faith, but because of their own whatever, they refuse to thrive. They will not eat the Word of God. They will not be loved on by other people and cared about by other people. They just want to, and what they really want to do is go back out in the sin that they said they wanted God to save them from. So they're failure to thrive. But anyway, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. And how does it end? With amen. All right, so here's what we're going to run through this very quickly. And then we're going to close out 2 Peter, all right? So, the idea is, people were telling me, and they'll tell you, don't read Peter. Don't read 1 Peter, 2 Peter, James, John, Jude, Revelation, four Gospels, half the book of Acts. None of that applies to you. Romans through Philemon is all you need to concentrate on. There's all the things that you need. Everything else in the Bible is not for you, it's for somebody else. They've adapted a two-gospel concept, a two-gospel theory. And it says, because Peter was called the apostle to the Jews and Paul the apostle to the Gentiles, this must mean that there are two separate gospels or ways of salvation. And every time I read those words, I get mad. I mean, I get angry. I hate it. It makes me angry. One for the Jews, one for the Gentile Christians. To the Gentiles, it is a gospel of grace alone. To the Jews, it is a gospel that mingles works with faith and grace. Those things do not mingle. Works, Paul even said, if it's works, then it's not grace. And if it's grace, then it's not works. If God gives you something unmerited and you didn't deserve it, if somebody just walks up to you and says, look, I've just had you on my mind. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I love you. Here's $1,000. Okay? What do I do? What do I owe you? You don't owe me anything. Well, can I come over and clean your gutters out? No. I mean, I don't want you to do anything. I just give you this because I love you. That is unmerited favor. But if you come over to their house and clean their gutters and mow their grass and feed their dog for a week or whatever, then you come over, then they give you something. That's not grace. That concept does not apply. They have to give you something because they owe it to you. You've earned it. We have not earned anything but hell, and hell extremely hot. Amen? Our wages of sin is death. And so anyway, you cannot mingle works and grace. I don't care what dispensation it is. I don't care what time it is or to what people it is. You cannot do it. The Gentile gospel does not require repentance, perseverance, or continuing in faith unto the end. That's what they say. The Jews' gospel requires repentance, perseverance, and continuing in faith. So what they did was, they noticed that Peter talked several times about continuing and persevering, and Jesus talked about he that endures to the end shall be saved. They've taken that and said, since obviously that is not for us, that must be for somebody else, because that is not how we're saved. That's what they said. So since they found verses in the Bible, Jared, that they didn't like and messed with their doctrinal statement, rather than rewriting and reprinting the doctrinal statement, let's just segregate whole portions of the Bible. And we're talking about people who would make you think they've got it with God. Okay? But if they preach this kind of nonsense, I don't like it. Okay? So here's what I'm going to show you tonight. Paul and the other apostles were all taught the same mysteries. They're taught the same gospels. Let me go through these scriptures. Matthew 13:10. The disciples came. How many of them were there? 12. The disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. Who did he give the mysteries to? The disciples. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Here Paul is addressing that the mystery is related to the gospel. And it's not a mystery anymore. God's going to open it up to the whole world. Everybody gets saved by way of Jesus Christ in Calvary. Somebody say amen. Now Ephesians chapter 3. If you want to turn there, I'll give you 1.8 seconds. I'm trying to divvy my time up here good. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul said, and you got to look at the words. You got to look at what the Bible actually says. Ephesians 3, verse 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, you word. And they take that verse and they say, see right there. We're in the dispensation of grace. Paul is the only one who had it. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And here again they use that and they say, aha, see? Paul knew the mystery. And it was in the dispensation and he was the only one that knew it. Okay, well if you look at those two verses, you say, well, okay. And he said, as I wrote before in few words. Now look at verse 4. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And they go, see? Verse 5. Which in other ages was not known, made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto only me. It doesn't say that, John, does it? It says, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles, plural, and prophets by the Spirit. Paul's not the only apostle who knew it. And they get mad when you address that issue. They get steaming mad. And then that's when they start calling you names, because you just read the scripture. And they say, well, you're not rightly divided. It's right there. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body with who? Israel. And partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The one gospel. So whatever Paul knew, Peter knew it. Peter, we just got done reading, said, if you don't believe me, read Paul. Because what I just said, he says. You may not understand everything, but... And I thought Rose was back there playing with that monkey. I did. I'm just going, what in the world is she doing? Holy cow. Sorry about that, bros. Anyway, Jaden's having a good time. Amen. Now, here's what I'm going to show you. Here's another one. 1 Corinthians 15. Turn there. Lick your fingers. Get them pages moving. 1 Corinthians 15. Those of you watching online, wait till it comes out. Then you can pause it and turn slowly if you want. No, actually, those of you watching online, Michael's got up on the screen. Don't you, Mick? He's good. All right. 1 Corinthians 15, 1. By the way, Eunice, thank you for giving us your son. He's a blessing here. Amen. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died and for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, these rightly dividing two gospel, three gospel, four gospel people will say, that right there is the gospel, and that's how people are saved. When I bring up the issue, well, Abraham was saved by grace through faith. Yeah, did Abraham believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Abraham foresaw it before anybody did. Took his son, his only son, to Mount Moriah. Abraham saw it with eyes that even we have not seen it with. What about Noah? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Yeah, but did he believe death, burial, resurrection of Christ? Well, I don't know. Let's see. He was in the ark. And the ark is Christ. And the water is baptism. Death, burial, and resurrection. Yep. They just saw it differently. But they saw it. Okay? You can't deny that. Amen. What about the Israelites? Let's see. Go through the Red Sea. That's baptism, Paul said. They had a rock with them named what? Christ. Amen. You can't get away from it. It was there then. It's here now. Same gospel. So anyway, verse 5, that he was seen of Cephas, which is Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Now, here's the difference here. Paul saw him after he'd already ascended to heaven. Peter and James and John and the other disciples and the 500, they all saw him before he ever left. They saw the death, they saw the burial, they saw the resurrection, and they believed it. Okay? So they say that's the gospel. Okay, I'm fine with that. Don't have a problem with that. He said, verse 9, for I'm the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so you believe. You know what he just said? Doesn't matter if I preach it, or Peter preaches it, or James preaches it, or John preaches it. It's the same gospel, and if you'll believe it, you'll be saved just like anybody I preach to. Amen. It's what it says. Now watch this, okay? And I got into it. This I told everybody yesterday, I don't get on Facebook. Because every time I do, I want to get into a boxing match with somebody. Okay? I mean, I do. There's a meme out there, a poster, and it's a guy going like, hold all my calls. Somebody's wrong on the internet. Okay? I got to go fix that problem. And that's kind of how I feel sometimes. I just don't like it. But a guy was in our Facebook church group. And I didn't know who, I thought I knew who he was, but I didn't know that he was like this. And he starts spreading this stuff about there being several gospels, Phil. And then he come out and said, Peter never preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Paul was the first one to start doing that. And I went. So I posted Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 6, 7. I just posted this. I still think Rose is playing with that monkey. But anyway. I posted that. And he starts calling names. Then I had to put him out. I'm going, I warned you. Quit doing this here. You're contradicting. I'm not even saying anything. You're contradicting the Word of God. I just don't go for that. Did Peter preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for salvation? Acts chapter 2, first day of the church. Holy Ghost has come down. Peter said, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain," that's the first part, "whom God hath raised up," there's the resurrection, "having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." And Peter preaches the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they say, "What must we do to be saved?" And Peter said, "Believe." It's right there. So that was the first one. And then the second one, Acts chapter 3, verse 12. "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us? As though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up." There's crucifixion. "Denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life." Peter's preaching the death of Christ. "Whom God hath raised up from the dead." There's preaching the resurrection of Christ. "Wherefore we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets," all the prophets talked about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, "that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." He's preaching. How did he raise this man to who had lame legs to walk? Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the power of God. If you'll believe that, God will raise you up too. Chapter 4, verse 8. I was having a ball doing it. I was going, well, there it is too. There it is too. How does he say this stuff? Anyway, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead," again, "even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you built." See, where is he getting that from? The Old Testament. It was preached in the Old Testament. "Which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must," and he used the word saved here. How are you going to be saved? Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Peter preached it. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5, verse 29. "Then Peter and the other," you ought to be underlining this. "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree.'" They must get tired of Peter saying this to them. They're going, okay, that's like four times now you told us we killed God. Okay? Whom you slew and hung on a tree, him God had exalted with his right hand to be a prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." That's salvation. "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." He's preaching it here in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 8. Philip, who according to them is not supposed to know about the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, met the man, the Ethiopian, on his way to Jerusalem. And you can read this, Acts 29 through 37. He's reading, if you look at verse 32, "The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment is taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch wants to know who this is. And Philip said, verse 35, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." He was able to preach it from the Old Testament. He preached the death, burial, and resurrection, and this man was saved and baptized, come up out of that water, a new creature in Christ. Why? Because verse 36, the eunuch says, "Here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" Verse 37, "And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart.'" That's the gospel, people. Same gospel. And this guy was an Ethiopian Jew headed back to Jerusalem for one of the feast days so he could honor the law. And he's reading the book of Isaiah, and God saves him by the death, burial, and resurrection, and he believed it. Same gospel. Now, it was Peter and not Paul who was the first to preach to the Gentiles the same gospel he'd been preaching to the Jews all along. Acts chapter 10. I'm going to move through this quickly, but you understand. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." And they hang up on that phrase, worketh righteousness. And they say, "Say, Peter preached that you got to work." Keep reading. He's not done. Okay? "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that oppressed of the devil, for God was with him, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead, to give all, to him give all the prophets witness." It's in the Old Testament, "that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Peter was the first to preach it to the Gentiles, not Paul. He'd been preaching it to the Jews all of this time. And then Peter has that vision. And here comes Cornelius. "You need to come to Cornelius' house." He was a Gentile, and he wanted to believe in Jesus Christ, and Peter preached it to him. And I'm done. There's one more place, and then I want to let you go. Acts chapter... Boy, I hope I say it right. Acts chapter 15... Yeah, Acts chapter 15. This should just be sufficient for everybody. Because when they say Peter preached the gospel of works to the Jews, and Paul preached the gospel of faith to the Gentiles, and you can't mix those two gospels. And Paul was the first one to... Paul had the gospel to the Gentiles alone. That's why we don't read all these other books and get our doctrine from it. Look at Acts chapter 15. This is the Jerusalem Council. They're dealing with whether or not they should keep the law and be circumcised, and you have to be Torah observant and all this stuff. Look at verse 6. "And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." I'm done. I don't need... Yeah, case closed. Peter said God chose me to preach the gospel to the Gentiles so that they could believe. Okay? People, this Bible should settle all of the arguments in your mind. Okay? And I'm just... Boy, I tell you, I rant and rave about social media right now. Stand to your feet or I'll keep you all night. It's just now 8:02. Man, I did that in record time. Don't expect that every Wednesday or Sunday night. Quit looking, Sterling. Okay? There's a story that came out on, I think it's Fox News or Post-Dispatch, and I'm going to talk about it tomorrow. It is how a deliberate lie can spread quickly on the internet and stir people up to go and be on the side of a cause that never existed. People, the greatest tool that we have here in this church with this Bible is the internet. Okay? God's blessing it. I got a call from, by the way, Robin. Call Alicia. There, Robin knows who that is. Okay? She don't have your number. Guy called me from Kansas City and he said, "I just found your videos last night." He said, "I like what you got to say." He said, I think you believe the King James." I said, "Yeah." And I told him, you know, which Bible you'd be the judge and all that. And he said he'd be watching tonight. And I told him, I said, "I'm still mad over 1985. Don't ask me to come to Kansas City. I haven't been there since." And he laughed. But we're still reaching people. Okay? And I've said it like this. All the stupid people are on the internet. And they're all standing here saying stupid stuff. I want us to be right on the other side of the street saying, "No, here's what the Bible says." Amen. People are going to decide, but if they only hear one thing, it's not much of a choice, is it? Yeah. So Well, let's let them hear the truth. And then let God save who He wants. Okay? I'm just telling you, be careful what you believe. Even if it's a friend of yours on Facebook that posted it, be careful about what you fall into. Okay? Not everything out there is true. Be careful. I'll probably talk about that tomorrow.